Hi, Michael.
Hey, Jason, how are you?
Good, you?
You want to do this thing?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'm ready. What about you?
I was born ready.
Yeah, same here.
I don't even know why I say that. I used to say that a lot when I was younger. Maybe because it
Oh,
was
yeah?
close to when I was born. I don't know.
I've heard that saying countless times.
I
I
know it's
feel
not even
you.
funny anymore, is it? How are you doing?
I'm doing good, yeah.
What is
It's
this
quite.
rain all about?
I know. It reminds me of my time in the UK.
Yeah,
It's
that would be
very
true.
unusual for Thailand. Very unusual because now we're kind of in the hot season. We're
Yeah, this
getting
should
there.
be hot. It should be 36 degrees
Should be
outside
really
and
hot.
really sunny, right?
I tell you, this year it's been quite unusual for weather. Really, really unusual the whole
Yeah,
year.
I think they should, and not that I really want to talk about politics, but I think they should change this terminology from global warming to just like, I don't know, the weather change or something. There's a
I
better
know, I know.
term for it, but
I know. No one can describe
no.
it.
So tell me about this. So where are you from originally?
I was born in Bangkok.
You were.
Yeah, I was actually born in Bangkok. My father is British, my mother is Thai.
Okay.
But at the age of six, I moved to the UK because
Oh.
I wasn't doing very well at school. You know, my parents kind of had a hard time finding a good job, I would say, in Bangkok. So we decided to move to the UK because education is free. You could say for younger people, the standard of living was better.
Maybe.
So, I grew up there until I was 16. So, 10 years in the UK after that.
And then what, did you come back to Thailand? Because you did. You went to the
Yeah.
Chamber of Commerce University,
Right,
yeah?
correct. At 16, I came to Thailand by myself on my own to start university because I just got bored of the UK. Not just the weather, but many aspects. And I just couldn't see myself, you know, fulfilling my dreams there. I couldn't see myself progressing as much as I could. Opportunities were very limited, so I came to Thailand, and that was probably the best decision of my life. It was a really good decision.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You've already used a word that I was going to bring up later, but because you've already mentioned it, I'm gonna use it. Like you use this word dreaming a lot, right? And in a good way, not in a bad way, right? Like
I
plenty
know.
of people have dreams and that's really neat, but they don't do anything about it,
Right, you
right?
gotta do it as well,
But
right?
you've got to
Dreaming,
do it.
yeah, exactly. If you dream all the time, it's like you're being asleep, you know. You gotta put it in action. And that's what I learned, like just a few years ago, I would say. I dreamt too much, nothing happened, but doing is it's 100%, you know.
Yeah, I
That's
mean, it's
a
all
big
there
lesson
is.
I learned about dreaming.
But isn't this the other thing too? And I want to talk about this obviously in the context of the internship that you did, because I really wanted to spend some time talking about China. But don't you learn this too? Like, you know, doing something and failing is not necessarily a bad thing. It's the doing
No.
something that really matters.
Right.
And sorry, go ahead, I interrupted you.
No, I think I've failed so much, you know, during my time, during my life, like especially in school, especially with education. I failed a lot, but it's very true that I've learned a hell of a lot through my mistakes. And that is definitely the best education. So doing and failing is much better than doing nothing, in my opinion.
Yeah, so there are a lot of people that just kind of stand on the sidelines and say, if it had been me, I would have done this, or that guy or that lady could do this better. And the reality is that those people are normally just sitting on the sidelines, you know, having a cigarette or just
I
relaxing
know.
or just commentating. And it's easy to commentate without doing anything, but it's more important just to get out there and do something.
Yeah, it's just like a football match because I love football or
Yeah.
soccer, you can say in America very much, and just be on the pitch, you know. Don't be in the stands because I've watched a lot of
Yeah,
football
yeah, yeah.
games in my times in the UK, and people love to criticize. But actually, it's not that easy when you're on the pitch. And I
No.
just say, just get on the damn pitch, you know, instead of complaining or instead of, you know, criticizing on the court, which is what I've been through a lot. A
Yeah.
lot of people criticizing me, people having too high expectations, but they didn't do it themselves.
Right. I
So I
mean,
understand in that point.
yeah, and I would say this too, and I feel this a lot. Like, the only expectations for me that really matter are the expectations that I have for myself. Because first of all, they're going to be way higher than the expectations that somebody else has for me. There's a little bit of a scratching sound. Is your microphone rubbing up against
Little bit.
a
Is it better
shirt?
now?
Yeah, just try to keep it away from there. It's fine.
Okay, yeah,
But yeah,
cool.
so like my expectations for myself are so high, and I can tell by the stuff that I've read that you've written, your expectations for yourselves are right in line. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're
Yeah.
really good. And one of the other things I loved about your writing was the quotes. Right, if you don't know where you're going, Every road's going to get you nowhere. You're just going to, and you're going to get there fast, right?
Right.
Yeah, and so you'd quote Tony Robbins too, right? Action is the most important key to any success. But the one thing that I learned is like sales or success is really just about activity. It gets back to what we were talking about before, right? Just do something.
Yes.
Anyway, so tell me about this. So you're in school and you're in Thailand, which you haven't lived in for a long time. And then you say to yourselves, like Jerome just shows up, right? Next Step shows up at school and they just start... Like, they pitch a little bit, I'm sure, right? And Jerome's really good at that. And you could tell he's really passionate about helping.
Mm. Mm.
So you hear this thing, and then you're like, you know what? I'm going to go do that. What was that like?
Pretty much. Actually, before he came to pitch, that was exactly what I had in mind. An internship abroad. That was what I wanted to do.
But tell me this.
And when he came up, it was like a guardian angel.
Jerome can be that way. In a way, it's kind of scary. But tell me this, though. Because most, and I'm going to use the word kids, and I don't mean it pejoratively. Yeah. I just mean it age-wise, right? But most kids don't have the same sort of growing up experience as you had where, you know, their mom's from one place, their dad's from another place. But also, they live in two places before they go to college. And you lived in two places that are really far away, right? So, like,
yes, very far.
Living in Connecticut and then living in New Jersey is not the same as living in Bangkok and living in the UK. But when you say abroad, I just find that term really interesting because what does that mean? Like, if you had gone to France, would that have been abroad?
No, not at all.
Not really, though,
right? France, I've been to Germany. In my opinion, the only thing that's different is the language.
Right. So
that's my opinion.
Right. So you said, I want to go to China. And I, again, in your readings, it just really felt like that was a big focus for you because it was just such, in your mind, it just seemed like such a dynamic place. And
right.
So how did that go? Like, I don't understand. How did you get to choose China? Was Shanghai the only choice? Like, how does that work?
It was not the only choice, but I've actually traveled to a few countries, to a few cities, but Shanghai, it seemed like the standout city for me. I saw it as a really developing city, a city that was growing a lot and still is. Yeah. And it just seemed really exciting. I mean, a lot of my friends went there, they not just for traveling, but for working as well. And it just seemed like the ideal destination, like the really crazy destination that is outside of your comfort zone. And I knew that was exactly what I wanted.
Yeah, you have to have that. It's good to choose that, though, like when you're in school, because once you do that, I think... I did a study abroad program as well, and you know this, right? But it changed my life, right? Because I did that in Kyoto, in Japan. And, you know, my whole life after that was kind of associated with Japan, the Japanese market, speaking Japanese and stuff. It just changes everything for you.
Yeah, it does.
Anyway, so just run me through, like, what was that experience like in your own words, right? So you're in Bangkok, and you're thinking, okay, I'm going to go to China. You get accepted. What is that like? And I'll tell you why. I went to China for the first time in the spring of 1991.
Oh, it's quite a while ago.
Yeah, and my landing point was Shanghai as well.
Yeah.
And I know the airport was different and everything, but I remember getting off the plane and just going down that road, heading towards the Bund. We stayed in the Peace Hotel, and I remember thinking, wow, I think that's Nanjing Road, maybe?
Nanjing Lu, Nanjing Road.
Right. And I just remember thinking, wow. Because it just seemed so different than everything else I'd done. Like, what was that feeling like for you? And then walk me through, like, that whole thing.
Well, pretty much, I would say whatever the UK does, China does the opposite. So it was an extreme culture shock. It was extreme culture shock in everything. But you know, some people might react differently, but to me, that was the fun part. It was a fun ride, like the whole journey. It was nothing that I expected, actually. I thought, because Shanghai is very a westernized city, but I would still think it's very different and unique from other Asian cities around there. It's really unique. It's crazy. I mean, you rarely get bored there. There was so many interesting stuff to do, to see. And working there, just put it in a different perspective. Like the working culture was, it took some time to adapt. That was the hardest part, was working in China, I would say.
But what is that?
It was not easy.
Yeah. What was that adaptation like? And isn't that one of the big things you learn by going on an internship is?
Right.
How can I change and adapt to new things, right?
Yeah, the main thing was that, because actually I was quite young back then, so instead of adapting, you know, I was looking to, you know, I thought I could change things, which was completely wrong. What I learned mostly is to be open to adapting, because it's their culture. It's been there for hundreds of years. I can't bring in a bit of UK. I can't bring in a bit of Thai. The main thing I learned most was any culture, you have to adapt. There's no other choice. You got to adapt. You can't do anything else, because who are you? You know, you're just a small third year student. You can't really change anything in terms of culture. So the best way to do it is adapt. And once you adapt, your co-workers love it. People show you that, you know, you're doing well. You're blending into our culture, and they respect you a lot more rather than if you were not to adapt. So that's what I learned a lot.
Yeah, it's really interesting, right? If you're in a new culture, whether it's at work or just privately, if you make an effort, even the effort, right? We talked about this. Yeah. This gets back to what we talked about at the beginning. Even if you fail, right? So if you... Yeah. And I'm going to say simple things, right? But if you're in China and you can't use the chopsticks, or you mispronounce the tones, or you get a kanji wrong, you know, the Chinese character is wrong, it's okay. Like, the people, I think, would rather see you give it the effort and get it wrong. And maybe they may laugh. I had people laugh at me all the time, but it didn't bother me, because what it meant was, well, it meant a few things. One, it meant I was trying, but two, it meant like they were listening. And they cared. It was better than just dismissing it out of hand. And once you figure that out, that effort that gets made, that gets tried, I think the transfer for that to other experiences is really huge.
It is huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. It's about respect, pretty much. You go to a foreign land, you gotta respect the culture, respect the people, and not just in terms of business, but in life. That's how you succeed in a different environment.
But what does it also tell you? Like, so you're there, you're eating the food, you're figuring it out. Like, what was it like with – how many other people were on your program with you?
From Thailand, I think I was the only one. But I made a few friends there. I made some friends from France, from Colombia. But mainly in the company, I think I was the only one the only intern in that company at the time. Yeah, I went as an individual, not as a program. So I was on my own in the company, but I shared a room with a few international friends. We enjoyed a lot. We enjoyed the night scenes and stuff. But working, I had to adapt completely to a company with many Chinese citizens. That's why I had to adapt a lot. I was the only international, I think. I think the only other international was a girl called Sophia, and she was a Russian. She came from Russia, and she was a senior marketing analyst, and she went to Australia for most of the time. Got so it. I was the only one who was an international in there.
And what kind of company were you working for?
I was working in a real estate company.
And was that by your choice? So, like, did you decide you want to go into a real estate company, and then Jerome kind of arranged that for you? Is that how that happened?
I've always been interested in real estate. Real estate has always inspired me, and after that internship, it's inspired me to do more real estate work as well. But pretty much, I didn't have a lot of expectations. I just wanted to do anything in the scope of business. But definitely that company taught me a lot about business, because I had to work hands-on, like really hard stuff, cold calling, you know, client management. And pretty much I learned a lot of people skills in there as well.
Like what?
So talking to clients right on the phone. A client would be interested in buying a piece of property, and I would have to call them. And that was just my order. Call them up. Boom. And it was so hard. I didn't even know how to start. I was getting scared.
Cold calling is hard, right?
It is hard. Not just cold calling, cold emails, you know, like even you could say cold messaging on WeChat.
Right.
Stuff like that. They were interested, but it was so hard, you know, to just talk to them and try to get their attention. So it was very challenging.
What was the next step?
I'm doing the same similar thing. So
you are there,
I've learned a lot from that.
Yeah, I want to get to the way the stuff that you learned in Shanghai sort of translates into the rest of your life. But let's do that in a couple of minutes, right?
Yeah, sure.
What did you know about real estate? What did you know about real estate in Shanghai? And what did you know about like calling people or doing sales like that before you started?
Yeah, sadly, school, university didn't teach me any of
that.
The ones. So real estate, not much. I think my father was into real estate in his younger days. He's got a few friends who, you know, like rent out small homes in the UK. So pretty much that's about it. Other than that, I really had very limited experience about real estate. you know, cold calling. I learned a lot about marketing theories, you know, stuff like that. But yeah, that didn't really help much.
Not really.
In terms of being on the pitch, you know, in business, in cold calling people and getting clients in. I was very like, that was the first time experience for me.
Did you get a sense that being out in the business world was very different than it was being in the different. Academic world?
Correct. It's opposite, I would say. Completely opposite. Completely opposite. I mean, I'm studying in a business school. It's good, but too much information doesn't lead to, you know, good business, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably say this 1,000 times, but I always used to say, even when I was younger, right, like, you can't learn how to drive a car by, like, reading the driver's ed manual.
Exactly.
You got to get up on the highway and get scared a little bit at going for 80 miles an hour or whatever it is these days that people go.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why internship, I would say it should be compulsory. Like, everyone should be doing it. If you're into business, you got to do an internship because... You know, sadly, the education system will not prepare you enough for the real world. And I see it happening every year.
Tell me.
I see it happening. Yeah.
But what does that mean? You see it happening? In other words, so now that you went through the program, right, even though that you were there, you worked in this real estate company, you learned a lot, you said, about marketing, about calling, like the difficulty of sales. Sales is, you know, around activity. Just like doing it is actually the hard part. But like now you're working, you've been working for like 3 or 4 years now. You're kind of doing similar stuff,
yeah.
Right? And what did it teach you now that you think is transferable to the business world? And then maybe tell me, because you already touched on it, but I'm really curious for like a longer opinion on why you think the internship is so key for people who are going to business school or just going to university at all. Why it should be compulsory for people? Because what are the big things that they pick out of it that are going to benefit them later, particularly when they want to try to go get a job, right?
Right. So pretty much in the internship, I wasn't very good at calling. I wasn't very good at sales. Not much. I was good at creative stuff, but the selling part, you know, getting clients in, I was very weak. And because it was the first time for me. So I failed a lot in that, I would say, in that part of the internship. But right as of now, I would say I'm doing very well in my career in that very similar field, which is business development. So I'd say because of that difficulty, that challenge, that slight failure, it has excelled me now because I wouldn't be here today without that experience, that challenging experience in Shanghai, definitely.
Right, but do you think you're better at it now than you were then?
Like definitely.
Way better, yeah. So when you get on the phone now, you can get on the phone with confidence. And if you had to apply for a job, you think you could go out and just go, I can do this. I've done that. And even if there's anything that I haven't done before, I can learn that easy.
Sure. Because I've done it. It's as simple as that. So doing it a second time is much easier than the first time. But if I haven't tried it, it would probably still be my first time today. Or I'll probably still be, you know, I'll still be thinking rather than calling today. So because I've done it before, it makes it a lot easier now. And it is a very needed skill, I'd say, in business. It's, you know, interacting with people, calling them up, emailing, meeting them. So without that experience, I wouldn't be where I was today.
Yeah, it's really interesting, right? So I did a little bit of sales when I was at Goldman Sachs, and I'm way better at it today than I was then.
Yeah, right.
Way better, only because, like, one is I'm just much more comfortable doing it. Two is I control the process, right? And three is I control the product as well. Whereas back then I was selling somebody else's product. Today I control the product. So it's just much easier that way.
Right.
And tell me, what do you think about this concept of sort of mandatory internships? I like it. And there are some places that do this, right? But I don't think enough universities actually do this for their students. Because like a university like Northeastern in the United States, right? They have an internship program. It's just part of their whole university. You study for a while, then you go 6 months and work, and then you come back, and you go away and work, and you come back. And that's like that. You have to do it. You can't take six months and just muck around.
Right. I think in Thailand, as I know of, some majors, it's compulsory, but just some. I think it should be all. I think if you're in business school, do an internship. Shouldn't be just for accounting major or logistics major, but every school should do it. Because right now it's just some, but not all. So I think it shouldn't be about which major, and internship will help you succeed. my opinion, regardless what studying.
So do you ever go back to not just your university, but other universities as well, and kind of talk the kids and the students there through the internship now that's taking place at Next Step, right? Where, you know, the brand is actually more expanded now, right? It's not just China. Yeah. You can go to Japan as well. You can do other things. Do you advise them on, you know, the kids that are kind of on the fence, like, I don't know if I should really do this? Mm. Like, what do you say to them?
I have spoken to a lot of my classmates and my friends about internships, and most of them do have the same feeling that internship is a must. And definitely tailor-made internship abroad is very nice. So they do agree with me, but, you know, I think most of them are quite hesitant, I would say.
What's the fear, though?
Fear probably would be getting out of your comfort zone, going somewhere different, and probably starting work in a company. Like, you got to do it one day, but, you know, people might just be hesitant because of that, or they might say, oh, I'm not ready or whatever. So, but you got to start sometime, you know, better to start sooner than later. I think that's the main point.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think if you wait until you're ready to do everything, it just gets back to the thing we talked about at the beginning. In the end, you'll just end up doing nothing.
Right, correct. Got to start sooner than later.
Well, yeah, you'll never be 100% prepared. I mean, that's kind of what the minor leagues are for, right? Like, no one ever just goes into the Premier League. They always start playing football, you know, in middle school, right, and it's grade school, right, and then it's high school, and then it's somewhere. And then, you know, you get on the team or on the practice squad, and then, you know, you've been playing. No one just, like, picks up a ball, goes out and plays football, and then they're on, like, Liverpool. It just doesn't happen that way.
Yeah.
Maybe that happens at Tottenham. I don't know. But not, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. It's the same field, I'd say. You know, business world, soccer world, football world.
Yeah. I think sports are a metaphor for business in so many different ways, right?
Exactly. I totally agree. You know, you gotta show it first at the start, and no one could scout you or see you if you don't, you know, make that big decision. You know, you gotta stand out somehow. An internship is a very good way of doing it.
I agree. And the other thing is, nobody can help you, right? If you're not out there trying, nobody can coach you and help you. And I think that's one of the other things you learn when you start an internship, when you start working early, and that is, you know, sometimes your boss and your colleagues aren't there to just, you know, get you in trouble or just to promote you. They're there to coach you as well and to teach you how to do things. And that's a great experience too, yeah.
Sure, definitely. If someone does an internship with a good supervisor and a good mentor, it really helps. It's because luckily at my company, you know, I had some good mentors on that team, and I learned so much from them. You know, they saw I was struggling. They saw I was, you know, not performing very well, and they really took the time to coach me, like, one-on-one in a coffee shop after work. And little things like that mean a lot. To me, that's the greatest education, is to learn from the people who are doing it, you know, right next to you.
Yeah.
So I learn a lot through mentoring.
I agree. So, and I actually spend a lot of time mentoring people, as you know. We don't talk about it a lot, but nothing makes me happier than kind of giving somebody some guidance and kind of seeing them succeed. Yeah, it's really nice.
That's great. Yeah.
Look, I want to finish with one of the last quotes you had, and that is, the best way to predict your future, it's kind of a, you've shortened it a little bit, but, like, the best way to predict your future is just to go out and create it.
Yeah, correct.
Just go do it, right? I mean, that's the activity that you talk about, and that's awesome.
I think people think too much before trying to, you know, do something big. Just do what your gut says. It sounds cliche, but it's absolutely true. Yeah. I mean, I didn't question the internship one bit before I applied. I just did it.
Yeah. I mean, look, I got on a plane when I was, you know, 19 years old or 20 years old and did the same thing, right? It was just like, I'm getting on a plane, I'm going as far away as humanly possible, and I'll figure it out when I get there. And
yeah, right. Exactly. Apply first, figure it out later.
Yeah.
that is great. Yeah, I agree.
I think that's a great way to end. Jason, look, I really appreciate your time.
Thank you. You too, Michael.
Okay, man. I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Take care, Michael. Thanks. Thank you. Bye-bye. Cheers. Bye.